Psalm 133 says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down to on the collar of his robe. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life."
So the reading is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 to 14. "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile."
Israel had been put into exile. It was no accident. Three times there I counted, as Dawn was reading, that God says, "What I have done. What I have done." And sometimes when bad things happen to us, we think to ourselves, this must be an accident, or this must be something horrible out of God's plan. But God has plans for us which sometimes are painful and sometimes are hard. But there's good news in this passage too, because the end of the exile was approaching. 70 years they've been kicked out of their land, and they will be about to be returned to their land. So it is that God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." It's important that we don't take that verse out of context. It's talking about the Israelites, and it's talking about them going back into their land. But there's an important lesson to be learned in this verse. And that is that God has plans for us, and they are not accidents. The things that happen to us this year will not be out of God's plan. And if nothing else, I want you to take that home with you, is that no matter what happens this year, God has his hands upon you and is holding you. God's promise is for a hopeful future. God has good plans for us. God has made plans for us. Eventually, the best plan of all will be that we will be with him forever. We can't know the future. We don't know what this year has in store for us, but God does. I'm amused by the weather apps on my phone. One of them says that it's going to be a beautiful sunny day. The next one says that it's going to be an awful day. Some say that it was going to snow. Some said that it wasn't going to snow. There's no consistency. But with God there is. With God there is. God's plans are for our welfare, not for disaster. And Yahweh assures the exiles that his long-term plan is for good and has not abandoned them. This national calamity of exile would have precipitated feelings of hopelessness and abandonment. Where is our God? You can imagine, they are the chosen people. They are in the chosen land. They are in the center of God's promises. And suddenly, they come along this big army and kicks them out of their land. And God says, I'm about to return you and remind you that I have good plans for you. It's 70 years, this exile, so it's a whole generation plus. And sometimes God's plans do take that long to be put into place. And for some of us that are looking for a quick fix, it's not necessarily going to be that way. But remember, for I know the plans I have for you. We may say to ourselves, where is my God? Why have you abandoned us? I think to my own experience, which I share with you, is that when I was ill for those 10 years that we were out of ministry, that I would say to God, where are you? Haven't I served you well enough? What have I done wrong? Yet I'm still ill. And it's taking a long time to get better. It took at least 7 years before the drugs and the medicines that I was taking managed to kick in. Let me encourage you. Trust in God's plans. Even when circumstances are challenging, even when they seem to take a long time, God is there at the center. Then there's God's sovereignty and control. God is in control of our future. We are in the best possible hands. Hands do not let go even when we try to get out of God's grip on us. We are not subject to star signs, as much as the papers might want us to believe. We are not subject to fate. We're not subject to coincidence or to random events. God's plans transcend our understanding and our present situation. That's why I love that song that we sang just before I preached, that whether good things or bad things happen, still we say, blessed is the Lord. Our situations may be difficult to understand. We may not be able to see where God is working. Ruth does cross stitch, and if you hold it back to front, it's quite ugly. There's little bits falling out, there's little bits sticking out, the colours seem to be messed, and it doesn't look very pretty. But you turn it the right way round, and it makes this beautiful picture. God's purposes for us are like that for us, in that we might see the reverse of the cross stitch. We might see the mess, the difficulty, the hardship. We can't see it from God's point of view, where we turn it round the right way and it makes this perfect picture of what God is doing in our lives. If I can take a biblical story where God's sovereignty was evident, Joseph, when he was in the Old Testament, was cast into the pit and ended up in a palace. His life was completely changed round. And Joseph says to them in Genesis 50, verse 19, but Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. I am in the place of God. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. You intended it for harm, but God intended it for good. Very important lesson there. When the difficulties come and the hardships come and the plans happen that we can't understand and we don't really comprehend, God says, I am working my purposes out in you. The story reminds us God is in control. Even when others plot against us, we may feel our lives are out of control. that others are pulling our strings, but God is in control. So I urge you, surrender your anxieties and uncertainties to a sovereign God. And as this new year looms, remember, we are safe in God's never-ending care. His arms enfold you and keep us safe. Then there's God's goodness and care. God's goodness and care. God's nature is that he is inherently good. And the thing to remember is that God is good. The devil will tell you that God is too remote, too pure, too holy to have any interest in us. To have almost an Islamic point of view where we think to ourselves, God is so other, he doesn't care, he's not interested in us. Us human, fallen beings. But God's character, as seen in this passage, ensures us that his plans are always for our good. God cares. The life of Jesus reminds us that God cares for the ill, the reject, the immigrant, the vulnerable, the poor, the misfit, the odd one out, the one who is lonely, the one who is heartbroken. The example of Jesus being in the earth and doing God's will on the earth reminds us that he was God in human form, and how God, Jesus behaves is how God behaves. The Israelites, for example, were the least. They were slaves and God called them. He showed them care and love for the least. So we need to reflect on past goodness and reflect on how God has been with us in the past and helped us in those times of need. And that this goodness extends to us and encompasses us. And we're to use his love as a reminder of his great love for us. A biblical illustration is God says that he keeps us safe beneath his wings. Now that's obviously not literal. God hadn't got wings. But it's talking about that very beautiful picture of God protecting. I saw a meme on the internet recently, this last couple of weeks, and it shows an adult bird with using his wings to protect the children birds underneath, and the rain is pouring down, absolutely tipping down, but the birds are dry and safe because the parent has used his wings to cover the innocent children birds, baby birds, chicks. That's the word I was looking for. So God does that for us. He cares for us. He keeps us safe under his wings. Then there is the encouragement to seek God. Jeremiah 29, verse 12 and 13. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. What do we need to do? To seek God with an undivided heart. Wholeheartedly seeking God's presence. It seems to me it stresses the importance of prayer and seeking God in all aspects of life. Daily prayer and Bible reading is the key. Staying in touch with the Almighty. When the police go out on duty, they have their radios and they call in to say, starting my routine, starting my duty, my roster right now. And as they go through their routine, every now and then they will call into the headquarters and say, right, this is where I am right now, this is what I'm doing right now. And if something occurs, immediately they're on their radio saying, here I am, I'm just about to do this. God would have us be like that with him, constantly in touch, constantly in control, and his control. So I ask you, commit to a deeper relationship with God this year, assuring us of his responsiveness. Seek the Lord while he may be found, says the Psalms, and he makes himself there for us. And the last point is living with hope and purpose. living out God's plans with hope and purpose. In these verses, we have the call to search for the living God and find him. I love that concept that we search for God, that we actually commit ourselves to a search. Now, you know what it's like when you've lost your keys. You're in your house, you know the keys are there somewhere, and you're searching for them. You'll turn everything upside down and then find them in your pocket. God says that we are to search for him, to use our very being to be looking for him in all situations, in all areas, to be looking for him as he is at work, and realize that everything we have and everything that we are doing are part of his plan. We are not a hopeless people. We have hope. God is there and he has plans for us. Even if this world goes to pot, we will be in God's purposes and plans. We cannot go outside his will. It was explained to me once at college that God's sovereignty is like the ocean, and we're like fish swimming in that ocean of sovereignty. And we can go forward, we can go up, we can go down. And if you're a very clever fish, you can go backwards. And you're still in God's plan. You're still in God's ocean of his will. We need to step into the God-given purpose of God with confidence and hope. So we remember this year that God has good plans for us. We will not be harmed, but we will be cared for. No matter what happens this year, Jesus is there for us, interceding on our behalf. Remember what he says. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Let's pray together. Maybe for some this morning, this new year is scary. We don't know what the future holds and we may be uncertain about it. For others, we're excited because of plans that we have. Plans to enjoy ourselves with family or with friends or whatever. Whatever our plans, whatever our fears, Father, we trust in you. We commit ourselves to you once again and ask that you would provide for us and show us the plans that you have, plans to prosper, not to harm. Lord, hear us in this, we pray. Amen.